So in this passage, 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to start in verse 51. Most of you are very familiar with this chapter. It's about the resurrection. It's also about the rapture, which we're going to look at, but that's not our focus this morning. Our focus is verse 58, but I want us to get the whole context. So starting in verse 51, the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Our title today will just be simply unmovable. Unmovable. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how we love you and thank you for your word. And Lord, that we can open it together now and freely worship, praise, and hear from you. I pray the Holy Spirit would take the word, speak to each of our hearts, Lord, that you would be in control of our service, that it would bring you glory, and that lives would be changed. But Lord, I pray that our desire would be to learn and to implement whatever you speak to us through the Holy Spirit into our Christian walk. Have your way now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So verse 58 is our passage today. And the word therefore, we always have to stop and say, what's it there for? Amen. And what the writer is saying, he says, because all of these things are going to happen, and some of these things have already happened for you. Therefore, I want you to, what? Be steadfast, unmovable, as we'll see. So the therefore, what is he talking about? Well, first of all, Jesus is coming back. Amen? That should make us all quite excited. Jesus is coming back. He's coming to take the church away, as we see in verses 51 and 52. The last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. That's us. So, first of all, Jesus is coming to take us to heaven. When he does, we get a new body, which he talked about there, immortality versus mortality, and that we have victory over death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory, he said. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we have victory over death. We have victory over sin. We have victory, unlimited victory. And he says, knowing all these things, knowing that at any moment Jesus could take us home to be with him, to get a new body, we have complete victory through Jesus Christ. Knowing these things, therefore, here's what I want from you. Knowing that God has done all this and will do all this for you, he says, therefore, here's what I want from you. I want you to, number one, be steadfast. I want you to be unmovable. And I want you to be abounding in the work of the Lord. So I want to focus this morning on four things or four ways in which God wants us to be unmovable. He wants his children to be unmovable. Amen. And the first thing that we see here is in our faithfulness. Notice he says steadfast. Another word for steadfast would be faithful. And God wants us to be unmovable. You know, we all have different talents. We all have different gifts. But no one can be more faithful than us. That's a choice, isn't it? And you know, when Paul was writing to Timothy, Timothy was a new pastor, and he said, Timothy, these are the people that I want you to delegate to. These are the people that I want you to train for the ministry. He says, the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Faithful. That's 2 Timothy 2:2. I want you to commit to faithful men. I want you to watch, and I want you to pick the faithful ones. And those are the ones I want you to train. Those are the ones I want you to delegate to and teach. It was all about faithfulness. And God wants us to be unmovable in our faithfulness. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, if you would. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. And the devil is so crafty that he's constantly knocking Christians out of the path of faithfulness. And of course, the devil loves it when he accomplishes that in a Christian's life, because now their testimony is not what it should be. Now they're not going to grow as they should, and so forth. Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? What a question. Look at Proverbs 28, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. So that word steadfast, it also means faithful. And God wants us to be unmovable in our faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Now, if you're born again Christian, you're one of God's stewards. You're a steward of the time that he's given you. You're a steward of the gifts that he's given you. You're a steward of everything because you own nothing. God owns us. Amen. And as stewards, we're to be found faithful. We're to be striving for Jesus to say at the judgment seat, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. We just had Lois's funeral service on Friday. That would be one word that comes to mind when you think of Lois, Norman Lois, wouldn't it? Faithfulness. God wants us to be unmovable in our faithfulness. One more verse, Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. He says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." The first area where God wants us to be unmovable is in our faithfulness. How many times does God tell us in the New Testament to faint not? To faint not. "For which cause we faint not," 2 Corinthians 4:16. "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not," Galatians 6, 9. And we could go on and on. The devil wants us to faint and to be moved from our faithfulness. But faithfulness is a decision, isn't it? I can still remember, I don't remember the exact day, but I can still remember the context when my wife and I first moved to Seattle, had one child that was a year old, took a new job with Boeing. And up to that point, we had been in Texas. My parents were there, and I was in uni, and we were both working jobs. And yeah, we went to church, but we just went sometimes. My parents had a boat. They had a lake where they lived. And yeah, some Sundays it was more fun to go skiing than it was to go to church. And when we got to Seattle, we rented a house, started a new job, and we just looked at each other and said, "You know, it's time. No more playing games. If the doors are open, we'll be there." Amen? And it changed our lives. Literally. It wasn't 3 years later, God said, "I want you to preach," and the rest is history. But the devil is going to try to move us from our faithfulness. No one can be more faithful than we can. Secondly, there's another word that word steadfastness means, and it can also mean settled. It's translated settled sometimes in the New Testament, and that's this Greek word. And that's another area where God wants us to be unmovable, is in our faith. So not only our faithfulness, but in our faith. He wants us to be settled. What he means by that is grounded. He wants us to, by the word faith, he means God is talking about our beliefs, that we are to be unmovable in our devotion unto the Lord. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. I'll show you an example. But we live in a time, we live in the end times, no question about it, when Christians, born-again Christians, are constantly getting moved from their belief system. And it's because they're not grounded in the Word of God. Maybe they haven't been taught, or maybe they haven't studied like they should, but some quote-unquote new thing comes along. There is nothing new under the sun, right, according to Solomon. And they embrace it, this new thing. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God not only wants us to be unmovable in our faithfulness, our steadfastness, but he wants us to be unmovable in our faith. You know, when those Jehovah's Witnesses knock on the door, how many Christians run into the kitchen and hide behind the refrigerator? You know, and hope that they didn't hear you walking. They'll think you're not home because they're afraid to open the door and face them. Because it seems like they know their Bible, which actually they really don't know their Bibles that well. They just come across with a bunch of stuff that they've memorized. But don't be afraid of them. Get grounded in the Word of God and go out onto the doorstep and give them the Scriptures, amen, about the deity of Jesus Christ. That's all you need to talk about, nothing else. But he wants us to be settled. And do you know that the cults, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, do you know where they get 90% of their recruits? Not from people that have never been to church. They get 90% of their recruits from people who have had a church background. But they're just not settled. They're not grounded. They're movable. And they get swayed by sweet talking, as it says there, the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. And they get swayed into believing, you know, what you said is, it's kind of confusing. How could Jesus pray to himself in the garden and things like that? And then before you know it, they're attending a cult. God wants us to be unmovable in our faith, in our belief system. And the only way that's going to happen is if we study. One more verse here, 2 Peter 3:17, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Peter here, warning the church, the Jews that he's writing to. And what's he warning them about? 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before. In other words, seeing that you already know the things that I've shared with you, the things that I've written to you about. Seeing that you know these things, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. There's that word again. Beware. And what's the preventative medicine? Verse 18. Grow in grace and, number two, and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow. But beware, or you'll be led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. So God not only wants us to be unmovable in our faithfulness, our determination to be faithful to God till the end, he wants us to be unmovable in our faith. He doesn't want us to be carried about and blown about by every wind of doctrine. He wants us to know what we believe and why we believe it. We should be able to defend it. Amen? We had that series recently, the 7 foundational truths of Christianity. We should know all 7 of those, and we should be able to back all 7 of them up with Scriptures. And if we can't, then get busy. Amen? Get settled. Get grounded. But he wants us to be unmovable. Thirdly, this word unmovable also has a kind of a second meaning, talking about a soldier who is unmovable on the battlefield. And whether you like it or not, If you're a born-again Christian, you've been enlisted into God's army. Amen? It's done. It was done for you. God said, you're one of my children now. You're also one of my soldiers. And as soldiers, God does not want us to be movable from the fight against the devil and this whole world for the cause of Jesus Christ, for the cause of souls. They're going to perish without Jesus. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. You know, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, fight the good fight of faith. Stand for God and His Word. And notice Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. To stand. Stand against the devil. Look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And God wants us to be unmovable in our fight. Our faithfulness, our faith, the embodiment of truth that we hold dear, and our fight. Notice 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Look at this next verse. Whom resist steadfast, there's that word again, resist steadfast in the faith. Who are we resisting? The devil. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. We're to resist the devil steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren and so forth. As a roaring lion, he's walking about, seeking whom he may devour. God says, resist steadfast. We're to be unmovable in our fight. Look at Jude verse 3, if you would. Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That word contend means to fight. We're to be unmovable in the fight for the cause of lost souls that need Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, the devil is not going to stop blinding their minds. He's not going to stop trying to prevent them from getting saved. He doesn't take a break. He doesn't want people to get saved. He doesn't want people to hear the gospel, and he doesn't want them to believe it. So it's our job to fight against that and tell them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so they can be saved like we were. So he wants us to be unmovable in our faithfulness. He wants us to be unmovable in our faith and in our fight. And this fourth one, I searched multiple thesauruses and tried to find a word that started with F. I just couldn't do it. So the fourth one doesn't start with F. That's okay. But verse 58, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're to be unmovable in our labor or our work for God. How many Christians have stopped serving God? They were serving and they aren't now. The devil wins. We're to say, I'm here to serve the Lord. I'm here to work for Jesus. He gave me the strength. He gave me the power. He gave me the gifts. I'm going to work until Jesus comes. Amen. As the song says, look at 1 Corinthians 3:7, if you would. 1 Corinthians 3:7. So God wants us to be unmovable in our faithfulness. He wants us to be unmovable in our faith and in our fight. But he also wants us to be unmovable in our labor. 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse 7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. I love that verse. The labor that we fulfill, God's doing it through us. Amen. That's where we get the strength. That's where we get the ability. He gave us the gifts. He gave us his presence in the person of the Holy Ghost. So that's why it says we're laborers together with God, not just for God, but with God. God does it through us. But the last thing he wants is for Christians to say, I'm not going to serve anymore. I'm not going to labor for God anymore. He wants us to be unmovable. He wants us to serve God until we can't. Amen? Brother Norm, he can't wait to start coming to church here again. He was telling us that on Friday. Just has to get some cataracts dealt with so he can drive. And he said, we'll start seeing him on Sundays. He's 85, is that right, Beth, or 84? Something like that. How old's Norm? 85, I thought so. 85. Of course, he went through our Bible college when he was in the late 50s. I think he was around 60 when he decided to be a pastor. But yeah, what an example. He wants to work. He wants to get back to work for Jesus. Amen. And we all should. We all should be unmovable in our labor. One more verse, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Why do we serve God? Right there, he tells us, work and labor of love. Amen? We do it because we love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We serve him and we obey him because we love him. That's why he calls it a work and labor of love. And if it's a work and labor of love, well, God's love never changes, so neither should our labor. Amen? We should be unmovable. So if you could only take one word from this sermon, just take that word, unmovable. I'm going to be unmovable in my faithfulness. I'm going to be unmovable in my faith. I'm going to be unmovable in my fight for the cause of lost souls. And I'm going to be unmovable in my labor for my Savior who gave me everything. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. When that trumpet blows, that begins that night, when everything will be different. Until then, he says, I must work. Amen? So God wants every believer to be unmovable. Unmovable. And I hope that would be our desire. I hope that would be a reality in our walk, that we were unmovable. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are grateful for your word again. And Lord, I have not preached to the unsaved, but if there's someone in our service that's not born again, you made it very clear. You said you must be born again. And I pray they'd realize that you died for them, rose again to pay for their sins and offer them eternal life if they will but repent and come to you as their only hope for heaven. Lord, those of us that are your children, maybe we've allowed the devil to push us off the path a bit. Lord, I pray that we would resolve to be unmovable in our faithfulness to you, in our faith, our beliefs about you through your word, in our fight with the devil for the cause of lost people, and Lord, in our willingness to use our time, our talents, our gifts to labor and work for you. I pray that would be a reality. And if it isn't, Lord, we'd get that.